So my name is Samira Solomonpour, and I am with the University of California Institute for Health Policy Studies. I've been at UCSF for over 15 years, and my work there, along with my colleagues who I work with, led by Dr. Claire Brindis, our team has been evaluating school health centers for over 15 years in Alameda County and also throughout the state of California. So today I'm going to be talking to you about some of our research findings from our ongoing evaluation of over 20 health centers in Alameda County, California, many of which are the ones that we heard my colleagues talking about just now. And specifically, we're going to talk about the risk and resilience factors associated with the frequency of school-based health center use. So before I get started, I just want to state that I have no financial relationships to disclose. And I'm just going to follow a very traditional presentation outline here with a review of the background literature and the methods for our study. And then I'll share some brief results and our conclusions. So as we've heard from my colleagues today, school-based health centers provide critically needed health care to youth who may not otherwise receive this care, anywhere from behavioral health care to medical care to reproductive health care. Some health centers provide dental care and then also youth engagement programming. And previous research on school health centers has shown us that they eliminate many barriers to health care, given their convenient and familiar locations in schools. Research has shown that they're associated with greater health outcomes in youth and also greater access to care, regardless of youth's gender, ethnicity, or insurance status. While there's a significant body of literature, though, that shows the impacts on health outcomes and access to care, there's a very limited empirical research on characteristics of youth who use the health centers most frequently. And there's two studies that I found in the literature. The first is by USEC et al., and they found that non-white and male adolescents made more annual visits to the school health centers than to community providers. And then another more recent study by Stone et al., which looked at wellness centers in the city of San Francisco, found positive relationships between school health center service utilization and students' self-reported school assets, particularly connections to adults at school. And they found that this was particularly true for students who used the health center 10 times or more. So as we can see, there's a pretty limited research base out there for kids who are using the health centers the most. And so to that end, our group wanted to look into this issue. And so the purpose of the study that I'm going to share with you today was to identify characteristics of youth who use the health centers with the highest frequency to understand their health needs and receipt of health services. And for high frequency, we're using the same definition that was used in the Stone et al. Study in San Francisco. So we're calling it 10 or more visits to the health center. So data from our study comes from a cross-sectional survey that's administered in California secondary schools called the California Healthy Kids Survey, or the CHICS for short. And CHICS is California's version of the National Youth Risk Behavior Survey that's led by the CDC. It's administered in secondary schools to students in the 7th, 9th, and 11th grades, as well as in alternative schools. There's also a 5th grade administration, but our evaluation doesn't look at elementary data. So we're just going to look at the secondary school data today. And the CHICS consists of a core module, which has over 100 questions on various risk and resilience behaviors that youth may engage in. And our team at UCSF, as part of our evaluation of the Alameda County School-Based Health Centers, has created a custom module that accompanies this school-wide survey. And we ask students a series of questions about healthcare access and their use of the school-based health centers at their school sites. So we did this survey with 21 Alameda County schools in 3 urban school districts. And many of these are small schools on one school campus, which is the reason for the high number of schools. And the surveys are administered usually during one class period, either on paper or recently they've been moving to a web-based administration, so response rates have gotten much better, and with passive parental consent, so parents can opt their students out of the survey if they choose to. And the analysis for this study included calculations of just simple frequencies and percentages. We're keeping it easy today, and some chi-squared tests of significance. So this is just an overview of our broader study sample. It's a total of almost 4,000 students in our sample, and there's a almost even split between male and female respondents. Most of our respondents are in the 9th and 11th grade, with a very small percentage from alternative schools. and most are Latino or Asian or African American, and this represents the diverse student population that my colleagues were just sharing from Alameda County and the schools that have the school health centers. So in terms of who's used the health center, about 50% of students at these schools said that they've used the health center at least one time. About a quarter said they've used it 1 to 2 times, 17% 3 to 9 times, and then this group that we're most interested in, the ones who use it 10 or more times, it's a very small percentage of students. 5% of our sample said they used it 10 or more times. So for the purposes of the study that I'm going to share with you, we combined the middle two groups, the 1 to 2 and the 3 to 9 times, and just looked at never users, low frequency users, and then high frequency users. So these are the demographic characteristics among those three subgroups of students who responded to the survey. And we found that the students who were coming to the health center with the highest frequency were most likely to be female. And they were also Latino or African American. And they were significantly less likely to be white or Asian in this population. So the Healthy Kids Survey also allows us to look at some academic indicators of students who are using the health centers and those who don't. And as you can see, we found that students who use the health centers with the highest frequency were significantly more likely to report that they had received grades of mostly C's, D's, and F's compared to non-users. And also we see a similar trend with the number of students or the percent of students who report that they've skipped school or cut classes more than one time a week in the last 12 months. So 17% of the high frequency users reported that they were what we're calling truant, compared to only 6 to 7% of non-users and low users. And when looking at students' mental health needs, we also see significant differences between high frequency users and low and non-users. We found that nearly half of the high frequency users, 47%, reported that they'd felt so sad or hopeless almost every day for 2 or more weeks that they'd stopped doing usual activities, compared to only about a quarter of the non-users. And then when we asked the students, had they ever seriously considered suicide? So you can see over a quarter of the high frequency users reported that they had considered suicide, compared to about 15 to 17% of non and low users. So clearly there's some real mental health needs for these youth that need to be addressed. Substance abuse, we didn't see as significant differences across the groups. So with cigarette use, fortunately, the usage is pretty low among all groups. We'd like to see that at zero, but it's low. Marijuana usage was the same for low frequency and high frequency users, and unfortunately significantly higher than non-users. But we did see a larger group in the high frequency group who reported that they had been binge drinking in the last 30 days, so consuming 5 or more drinks in a row in a couple of hours. So the Healthy Kids Survey also has a series of questions that ask students if they'd ever been harassed for any reason on school property or victimized for any reason on school property. And again, we're seeing the same sort of trends here, with the high-frequency users reporting, a larger proportion of them reporting that they had been harassed on school property for anything from their race, their gender, their perceived sexual orientation, or their looks. And then we also found that a high percentage of students who were in the high-frequency user group were significantly more likely to report that they had been victimized on school property. So this is having ever been in a fight or having been pushed or slapped or kicked in a non-joking way at school in the last 12 months. And this last slide just shows us some of the some other characteristics that we were able to look at through this data. We found that nearly twice as many students in the high frequency user group were living in situations that were other than with their parent or guardian. A slightly higher percentage of students identified as LGBTQ youth. Nearly half of our high-frequency users were sexually active, compared to only 20% of the non-users. And then we also have questions around resiliency and school connectedness, and this is just one example. So it's not a huge difference, but there were differences, slightly lower proportions of the high-frequency school health center users reported feeling connected to people at school compared to their peers. So the last few slides obviously indicate that these youth who are visiting the health centers with the highest frequencies are in need of healthcare and support. And the good news is that the data shows us that they're receiving that support from the health centers. The majority of the youth in the high frequency group had come to the health center to receive medical services, so 64%. And then over a third also reported that they received behavioral health care and reproductive health. And a quarter of our high frequency users reported that they'd received more than one type of service from the health center. So that's good. We're getting them in for different services. And also what's encouraging is that a higher percentage of school health center users who use it 10 times or more were significantly more likely to report that they always received different types of care. So, for example, high-frequency users, 59% reported that they always received reproductive health care when needed, compared to about a quarter of non-users. And we see similar data for mental health care. 42% of high-frequency users report that they always receive this care when needed, compared to about a quarter of non-users. So just some very quick limitations to our data that warrant consideration. First of all, the study relies on cross-sectional self-report data, and of course some youth are more willing to report some of these behaviors in a survey than others. But the survey is it's confidential, anonymous, and youth can skip any questions that they want, so hopefully they are more honest and open about their answers in this survey. We also don't have data on the other sources of care that students may seek care from, so that may affect if the high-frequency users are getting care from other sources. We wouldn't know that, but the good news is they're getting a lot of care from the health center, so at least we know their needs are being met by the school health centers. And it's limited. We have limited generalizability, given that it's a convenient sample of students who are using the health centers in Alameda County, California, and our population is not necessarily representative of the national population. But despite these limitations, we had some very significant findings that hopefully contribute to the literature on which youth use the health centers at high frequencies. And our study results help us demonstrate, as far as our evaluation is concerned, of the Alameda County School Health Centers, that we're reaching many youth with academic and social and emotional needs who traditionally are less likely to seek health care in other settings. So in some, youth who are high-frequency users were more likely to be non-white. They were more likely to report experiencing risk behaviors, including being sexually active, having been harassed or victimized on school property, and having considered suicide. But they also were significantly more likely to report always receiving behavioral health and reproductive health care when needed. So these are the exact services that are needed to address those risk behaviors, and that's very encouraging that they're coming to the health center and getting those services. In Alameda County School Health Centers, as we heard, there's a huge investment in the health centers in the county, and there's lots of efforts to partner with the school communities and identify youth who really need different types of services. So in terms of them achieving their goal of reaching health equity in the school health center communities, I think this data really supports that those efforts have been successful and we're reaching the youth who are most in need, though there's always more we can do. And I think the last bullet that's cut off is just my plea for additional research in this area. So we have, this gives us sort of a cross-sectional, you know, snapshot of who these kids are. But what we can't get from this survey is whether or not the school health center services are making a difference in their lives and moving the needle on some of these behaviors. So my hope is that we can do some sort of focused research, or others in the field can do some sort of focused research to see if the health centers are really making an impact over time on these youth who clearly have very high needs that need to be addressed. Okay, I'll just leave the references up. So that's the end of my talk. And I think...